So welcome to the second morning talk of this fantastic Enlightenment or Bust retreat. Hope you had a nice rest, a nice breakfast. Very good. Because when the tummy is happy, when the body is rested, it's much easier to get some nice meditation. Because first of all, we have to deal with our poor old body to make it sort of comfortable. And when it is comfortable, as I mentioned yesterday, the mind will respond. It's like it's free to be able to become peaceful and become still. And the major word I'm trying to focus on this morning is stillness. Because for those of you who have read books about Buddhism, especially meditation, who have heard talks, very often that people make the big mistake of translating samadhi as concentration. That's a terrible translation which has caused so many problems for so many people throughout the world. And as you've been here at least 24 hours now, some people have been here longer, I think you have realized by now this is not a concentration camp. There is no barbed wire sort of around the fences. There is no towers with machine guns making sure that you don't escape. You don't have guards making you get up early in the morning. This is not a concentration camp. This is a meditation retreat center. Because concentration was something I remembered my teachers told me to do at school. Concentrate! And I got all the bad feelings as a result. Because if you concentrate, it's very hard work. It's tense. There's no sense of freedom there. And indeed, you know, I always, you know, because I just came, you know, to Buddhism from the West, and I read all these books, and they said concentration, this is what you do, meditate to concentrate. So you tried, and you got all stuffed up and very tense. And I realized, this, it can't mean that. And of course, once you started studying Pali, you realize, my goodness, what a terrible translation that is. Samadhi doesn't mean concentration, it means stillness. And during the retreat, there was one lady from mainland China, Yao-san, and she was telling me, said, yeah, the Chinese characters for Samadhi, you know, in the Agamas. Now, because I'm talking to people from Singapore and Malaysia, you may laugh at my pronunciation. But it's something like sure or still. Is that right? Still? Oh, no, stop. Stop. Sir. Sir, yeah, that's stop. And guan, just to look. No, that's samadhi. Stop and look. Just one, two characters for that one word of samadhi. You know, like in guan yin? So, sir and guan. Was the words, the two characters. She wrote it down for me somewhere, but I lost it somewhere. But those were the two characters, you know, in the Chinese version of the Theravada Pitaka for Samadhi, the eighth factor of the Eightfold Path. And he said, she was reading all this, it doesn't mean concentration, that's a totally different concept. So, those old Chinese monks who translated, they understood. It's these stupid Westerners who made all the mistakes. So now we've got to change it from concentration to just stop and look. Stillness and awareness coming together in this wonderful thing called samadhi. And to explain exactly what that means, I always like telling a story to make it more interesting for you. And that story is now relevant for you. I told this in Singapore before, in Phuket and other places you teach retreats, but this is relevant for you now because you've all come to this center up that road which goes up this hillside. You've been to our monastery and you'll know the story of walking up that hillside. Because for the first maybe 7 years, when we've been here for 28 years now, in this monastery over the road. So for the first, I think it took about 7 years, and every time I came to that monastery or left that monastery was always in a vehicle, in a car. always going up and down that road, maybe two or three times a week on average. And it was after 7 years I was being driven back from some appointment. And it was a beautiful, warm spring day. Lovely weather, and I had plenty of time. And I told the driver, let me down at the bottom of the hill. It's such a beautiful day, I want to walk up this morning. And so for the first time in 7 years, I walked up this road, Kingsbury Drive. It's only about 2 and a bit kilometres from the bottom of the hill to the gate of Bodhinyana Monastery. It was the first time I ever walked that. And as I started walking, I had this incredibly weird experience. It was the experience of not being able to recognise my surroundings. That hillside, the road in which I lived, was unrecognisable. It looked totally different than everything I could remember. And it was so strange, I stopped. I stood still. And when I stood still, the hillside changed again. I'd never seen it so beautiful. I'd never seen so many details. There were rocks, little wild flowers, which I had missed before. I hadn't seen them. And I was really figuring out what was going on. Did somebody put some illegal substances in my breakfast that morning? You know, was I getting high on something, or what was happening? And I soon figured out what was occurring. Just using science. When you look through the window of a speeding car, you think that you are seeing what's outside, but you're only seeing a fraction of what's out there. Literally, the light doesn't have enough time to form a proper full image on the back of your eye. A sort of fraction of the image forms, and then another scene comes into your eye, dislodges the old, and you have to attend to the new image, and then another image, and another image, and another image. That's what happens when you look through the window of a car. It's moving too fast to form a proper image on the back of your eye. But when you start walking, you have more time. There's more detail in the image, because it has more time to form. And the colours are richer. They're literally deeper. The yellows are more yellow. The greens are a deeper green. But nothing beats when you stop and just look. And then you have all the time in the world. So a full image forms on your retina, the back of your eye. And your mind has all the time it needs to explore that single image before you move on to something new. So when you stop and stand still, you don't move. The image which you see becomes more and more full, the colours richer, the details more pronounced, and you see beautiful things there which you'd missed when you were looking through the window of a car. That's why when I stood still, that hillside was more beautiful than I'd ever seen it before. I stopped and looked. Sir Guan. Stop. Look. That's called samadhi. That's meditation. That's what we're doing here. Not forcing, but just stopping and allowing the images which reach our senses to fully form. And that's one of the beautiful things about meditation. What makes this a really fun activity? Because what happens if you follow the instructions and do it properly? You get more and more slow, more still, and in this beautiful piece of nature where this retreat center is located, you start to appreciate the scenery more and more and more. I mentioned to those people who came out for the chanting, there was a gorgeous rainbow this morning just before the 6 o'clock chanting. Because it's very early in the morning, just as the sun came up, so you had this beautiful, full semicircular rainbow. And a bit of a double rainbow too, very bright and beautiful, it's delicious. And you start to notice those things when you go slower. You start to notice the different colours of green on the trees. They're not just one green, thousands of different shades. You start to notice an incredibly beautiful cloud in the sky. Again, for tea time or whenever you need to just relax a bit, you can sit out on the veranda and you're outside of the dining room or even in the dining room, look through the windows. You've got this beautiful view, over the valley, the forest surrounding you, and way over to the ocean, the Indian Ocean. It's this beautiful view with these wonderful clouds and sometimes a beautiful sunset there. And that's all there for you. And you can really appreciate it. Only when you are still and when you are looking. Because if you're SMSing, or you'll miss it. That's why it's so beautiful to stop. You see much more. And what you see is invariably more beautiful. This was an unexpected development when I was meditating. The first time I recognized this was, I mentioned last night, the time when I had the first experience of bliss better than sex. That was on a meditation retreat at the Cambridge. I was a member of the University Buddhist Club there. We had a retreat, it would be 1971. And it was quite a strict retreat because they were okay, but they didn't really fully understand what meditation was. But we were allowed to have an exercise, 1 hour outside of the retreat houses. And because, there's many visitors from other parts of England, because, that was my university, I knew the place. I knew that very close by, maybe 5 minutes away, was the Cambridge Botanical Gardens. Now, what a wonderful place to have the morning exercise. I knew it was open very early. So I resolved to spend every morning walking in those gardens. But I never achieved my aim. Because when I got to the gates of those botanical gardens, there was this clump of bamboo at the entrance. And the very first day I saw that clump of bamboo, I was charmed by its beauty. You all know that especially in Chinese watercolours, there's always bamboo figured in those watercolours, simply because it's a very sensual plant. It sort of bends just almost deliciously, and its whole shape and colour, a wonderful expression of natural beauty. And this was not a watercolour, this was real. And I was so entranced by the beauty of this clump of bamboo, I just couldn't go past it. I stood and stared for about 5 or 10 minutes. Then I realized, I wasn't in Asia, I was in England. And if somebody saw me standing there looking without moving for too long, they would call the men in the white coats and take me away. It's not the sort of thing you do in that place. So I decided I'd better find a bench and sat down. So I sat down. And then I could just watch to my heart's content. So for the whole time I was supposed to be exercising, I just watched this very beautiful clump of bamboo. And I never finished with it. So I decided to go back the next morning, and the next, for 8 of the 9 days, every morning, I went to that bench and sat down, just delighted in this beauty of this bamboo. I was always seeing new things in it, just the stems, just the way they had different colours of green and yellows, and just the way the whole thing tapered to a point. I was totally delighted and contented just watching this clump of bamboo. I never realised why. But later on, the retreat had finished, and I had to go back to studies, and go back to the parties, and all the messing around which a student does. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I had an afternoon free. So I thought, I get on my bicycle and go and see that beautiful clump of bamboo. It had given me so much delight during the retreat, I wanted to go and enjoy it again. So I got on my bike, and then bicycles through busy Cambridge traffic, got to Botanical Gardens, got to the entrance, all expected and hoping to see the most beautiful clump of bamboo, and there in front of me was the most miserable, dry, dusty desiccated piece of bamboo you could ever imagine. Bamboo's not supposed to grow in England, it's the wrong climate. And it didn't look beautiful at all. And that shocked me. And I thought, where has my beautiful bamboo gone? And then I realized it was beautiful because my mind was still. And I could see things in it when I was meditating, which were now closed off. Now I was busy. My mind was moving around the social circle, studies, doing all sorts of stuff. And I couldn't see the beauty anymore. But when you meditate, your mind opens up, you can see it again. When you're still, the hillside looks beautiful. It happened to me later on when I was meditating in Thailand. I was doing some walking meditation on this old concrete floor at Wat Phanarachat. And you know I had to stop, because in walking meditation, I didn't mention yesterday, you put your gaze about 2 meters in front of you. You do that with your eyes open, just to give you confidence you're not going to trip over anything. You can see where you're going to be stepping soon, so you don't have to have any fear. So you usually keep your gaze on the floor 2 meters in front of you. And I was doing that, and I had to stop because, my God, that concrete, it looks beautiful. And that old piece of grey concrete started to open out. You could see not just grey, all the different shades of grey. And they were arranged like a Picasso painting. And it had texture too. It wasn't flat. You could see all the sort of bumps like a mountain range. And I was transfixed with that piece of bamboo for about half an hour, just staring at it. And that piece of concrete. That was just an old piece of concrete. Another time, over in Bodhinyana Monastery, this happened. Oh, was it in one of the retreats? I forget where. No, even the most extraordinary things become beautiful. That I had to go to the toilet. And just after going to the toilet, I just happened to look in the bowl. My goodness, I've never seen such a beautiful piece of shit in my life. It's not just brown. It's got these different shades of brown. And the way it's all put together, you know, the balls and the way they're connected together, and especially when there's water on it, it glistens, just like diamonds. And I thought, my goodness, that would be a tragedy to flush that down. Maybe I should take it out and keep it, maybe put it on the wall. Eventually, because now I'm like, I can let go of beautiful things, I flushed it. But even that looked beautiful. It's true. You wait, you know. If you see in the toilet, someone's staying in the toilet half an hour, 45 minutes, and you're waiting to go in, you know what's happening. They're not constipated, they're just missing out on the contents of the bowl. So what was really happening there was just, the mind was just so still and peaceful that everything looked so beautiful. You could see things in there which you've never seen before. And that's one of the fun parts of meditation. Only when you get still, when you can stop with something long enough for it to open out and show you its secrets, only then can you understand what I'm talking about. And hopefully that will happen to you. You know, you're just going out, you know, after a meditation, and you just look at the grass. Thousands and millions of beautiful blades of grass, not two the same. Just the way they're arranged around the stupa. Wow. And hopefully you'll see that. You'll see a couple of people just looking down there, transfixed, having a wonderful time. And they're not crazy. They're getting some stillness and seeing the beauty in things. This is one of the benefits of stillness. Gives the mind happiness and energy. It's the sukha, the happiness of meditation. Whatever you watch becomes beautiful. Even contents of toilet bowl, let alone flowers, they blow your mind. And not only do you see the beauty, but you see all the detail. In that hillside, I started to see so many things I'd never noticed before. They were always there, but when you're rushing around, looking through the window of a fast car, you just don't notice those things. The point was, I assumed, I took for granted, I know that hillside, I've been living up here 7 years, I know that. I didn't. That's what we call delusion, avijja in Buddhism. We think we know, we don't. We've been going too fast. If your mind is going too fast with thinking and doing things, you don't see the world. So the purpose of stopping is giving you the chance to see. Stop and look. Shirkwan, samadhi. So that's what we're doing here. So understanding the point of this is stopping, being still, looking. Gives you an understanding of why I teach the way I do. It's not forcing the mind, I'm not trying to get on to the next thing. That's more moving. It's nothing about moving, it's stopping and being here. And to be able to stop and be here, obviously you do have to just let go of all the future and the plans of what you're going to do next. A lot of times it's because we fear that something might go wrong. So we always plan all these things out. Plan them meticulously, plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. Have you ever done that? You know, well, if this doesn't go, you've got a plan B and a plan C in case plan B doesn't work. And you find out in real life, not only plan A doesn't work, plan B doesn't work, plan C, plan D, nothing works. It all goes wrong. That's the nature of life. It all goes wrong. Life is just a series of unexpected moments. Maybe 10 years ago, did you ever think that you were going to be spending your vacation in Australia, in the forest, sitting meditation? Did you ever think you'd be here? I think none of you probably did. But you know, many of you from Singapore, you don't get many holidays a year, and you're spending it here. Not in sort of Phuket or in UK, not touring around and visiting. You're spending your holiday, just, you know, 2 meals a day, simple accommodation, sitting for hours doing nothing. If you go back and tell your friends, where did you spend your holiday this year? You know, I went to California, I went to England, I went to Paris. Have you ever been to Paris in the springtime? It sucks. But this place does. But this place, it costs so much money. Sorry about that. I know you're French, Ludwig, but you know, it's only a joke. Everything's a but this place is nice and peaceful and happy. It's amazing. There was one lady who came here once. She was from, I think, Sydney. She came on this 9-day retreat. And you know, she had to get sort of, even though it's, you know, she was deserved some holidays, you know, the company was so busy, she had to beg her boss to come here for 9 days. But the boss eventually relented. And then she wrote me this letter afterwards saying, you would not believe this, Ajahn Brahm, but when I went back, the boss couldn't believe how happy I was. He said, where do you go on holiday? To a monastery for holiday? Don't I pay you enough? But the boss also noticed, well, look, I don't know whatever they fed you at that monastery. Can you please bring some back for me next time? Because it certainly makes you very happy and peaceful. Because the boss really saw the difference when you come to a place like this. So actually, that all of you who are spending your hard-earned vacation time at a place like this, you go back and you make many of your friends jealous. Wow, you really are rested and relaxed. Many people go on holidays and they go to club. Actually, this is Club Med. This is club Med Serpent Time. Club Meditation Serpent Time, not Club Meditation. But many people go to the, you know, the Club Mediterranean. Somebody once showed me what you do there when you go on holiday to these places. You know, in the morning there's tennis, in the afternoon abseiling, you know, parties all night. And it tires you out, wears you out. You must be so exhausted when you come home after your holidays. But this place, you have real relaxation and rest. You actually can become still. When you do become still, you can actually see very deeply into things. You're not racing around so much. But the problem is, I was saying, a lot of time people are afraid just to rest in the present moment because they think everything will go wrong. And to try and stop that fear, I explain to you, just use your intelligence. Where is your future made? When is the only time you can do anything about your future? It's now, isn't it? Right in this moment, this is the place you're creating your future. Your health, especially by your attitudes to this moment, your peace, freedom, well-being, it's all being made right now. So those of you who start wondering what you're going to do next, you are actually neglecting your future. You're avoiding the only place when you can do anything about your future right now. So I figured this out a long time ago. If I want to have a peaceful, healthy, happy future, I've got to put more attention right now, in this moment. The only time I can do anything about my future. The place where my future is being made, right now. And that gave me a lot of confidence just to be here. If I look after the present moment, the future looks after itself. But if I go wondering or being anxious about my future, because I'm neglecting the place where it's being made, my future goes wrong. If you spend more time in the present moment, you're doing much more to secure a prosperous, successful future. So if you are concerned about the future, put more attention into the present moment. Then you don't feel so afraid. You know this is the best I'm doing right now. By meditating, by being peaceful, by being kind, by being gentle, look, my health is going to improve enormously. And my mind is going to be rested, so I'm going to be more successful when I go back to work. Have great positive attitudes because I'm really being peaceful right now. I'm going to be wiser. You get so much benefits from being now. But when you start worrying and thinking about the future and planning so much, you are wasting the opportunity. You're destroying your health and your peace and your success. That is why, don't be afraid. Just be now, and you'll experience, as I've experienced, that peace, happiness and success will come to you. Because you're putting all your attention in the place those things are being constructed right now. And that allows me to be still. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen next. You know, many of you have known me for a long time now. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. You know, I never have notes when I give a talk. In fact, I didn't even know what I'm going to talk about. You know, sometimes I give a talk and I think I'm going to talk about one thing and it goes off in another direction. I think it's really interesting. I enjoy that. Because what happens is when you really relax and in the moment, you look after this moment, then the future evolves. And that's so much, personally in my position, I have to give so many talks, it'll be terrible. I'd have to spend hours writing about my talks and thinking about them. I'd never have any peace at all because I give so many talks. Even when I'm on retreat, I'm a bit concerned whether I talk in my sleep because I'm giving a talk all day, so maybe through habit, it's causing me to sleep. No, I don't talk in my sleep. At least I don't think so. Maybe I'm not listening, but other people might be, but never mind. But anyway, it's great to live in the present moment. And then you can be still. Still in time. The first level of stillness. Because if you're moving in time, worrying about what's going to happen next, always in the future, then back to the past, and then back to the present, then back to the future, and back to the past, you're not still. So please be still in time. And number two, please still that thinking mind. I know you're all supposed to have noble silence. I know you've all been speaking. Of course I know what goes on. You can't keep any secrets from Ajahn Brahm. But I also know that the biggest conversation is the one going on between your ears. the one which only you can hear, that inner conversation. And that makes you crazy sometimes. That is the most important thing to keep noble. I don't really care so much if you speak, but I really care that you slow this thing down inside so it gets quieter and quieter. But what I was saying just yesterday or last night with that technique of noticing the space between the words of just a mantra like Om Mani Padme Hum, put spaces between your thoughts in those gaps you are silent. You understand what I mean? You felt it. This is a little meditation teacher's technique, because you never know when I'm going to start speaking again. So you're actually waiting. There it was again. Silent. Aware. Just being here. Isn't that beautiful? It's as if this terrible noise has stopped for a while. In a couple of months' time, I'm going to go and teach a retreat in Penang again. I usually go there every couple of years, actually every year. And there was a couple, always at this time of the year, or the end of the year rather, the Christmas, New Year. And it did happen. I was giving a retreat there, and on Christmas Day, I've been, you know, giving talks and interviews all day, and it got to maybe 10 o'clock, the evening talk, maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock, the evening talk, and the questions were all finished, so I went back to my room to take a rest. But in that temple, Mahindarama Temple, just opposite was a road. It's usually very quiet. But being Christmas night, they decided to have a party in the house opposite. A karaoke party. It's the first time I've ever heard karaoke, and I sincerely hope it's the last time. It was terrible. Because what was happening is very easy to work out. Now, the people were, you know, drinking alcohol, and you know, after a few sort of glasses of whatever you're taking, now everybody thinks that they're Michael Jackson, Frank Sinatra, or Lady Gaga. I mean, probably like, I've never heard Lady Gaga, but whatever it was like, it was probably much worse than her. And it was singing at the top of their voice. It was always out of key and out of tune, and it was just disgusting. 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, they still hadn't finished. And there's no way that you can sleep with that racket going on. I always was telling people that, you know, all these hell realms, you know, since the time of the Buddha, you know, you see all the pictures of the hell realms, you go to some of these temples, all these pots of boiling oil, and these demons with forks, you know, poking you and going up these razor trees. Oh no, that's nothing like the karaoke hell. For those who've done really, really bad karma, you get bored in the karaoke hell where you have to listen to that rubbish for thousands of years. That will drive you out of your mind. That really is suffering or torture. I thought, you know, in Guantanamo Bay they should actually play karaoke to those prisoners. They've confessed in no time at all. Some of it lied, and you want to know where he is? I will tell you, please just stop that terrible noise. The karaoke torture. You know, it's so nice when it stopped. Finally, they decided all to go to bed so I can get a rest as well. Oh, that was so bliss that the torture had finished, the karaoke had ended. The last croaky, out of tune, shouting, loud wailing of the banshees in the house afterward, on the other side of the road, was finished. Oh, what bliss. That's like the silence in your mind. When the thoughts, and they're always out of tune, when the thoughts have finally stopped. Isn't that bliss? Peace at last in your head. And it's not that hard to do that. So see if you can get your head around just being at peace, being still. And then, in that stillness, great joy. And also, when you stop giving a conversation about things, you may be able to see it. This is another meditation trick. So, I pick up the nearest object and hold it up, and I ask people, what is this? What is it? Any idea? Yes, louder? What is it? A stick? Yes, what else? What else? A fan? Yeah, but what else is it? Wood, yes. Anything else? Yes, or anything else? Keep tell me what this is. Describe it to me. Yeah, what else? Because what happens when you first hold something up, you give it a name, say stick, and you think you've finished with it. You think you know everything about it. It's a stick, finished, let's go on to the next thing. But when I force you, say, what is this, a stick? So what else is it? It means you have to keep on looking. Wood, cylinder, brown, maybe 6 inches high, bore at the top. Whatever you see, don't stop there, keep on looking. The longer you look, the deeper you see. And you can only do this if you're still. The trouble is, what thinking does, it says stick and assumes you know everything about it. Thinking is only very superficial. This is not a stick. That's what you were taught in school. The teacher held something up. This is stick. This is mummy. This is dog. This is house. And it's much more than that. So when you are actually still and silent, then maybe you can see this stick. Similar. What's that making the sound outside? Is it? Do you know? Can you see it? It could be someone imitating. See how much we assume things you don't know. It just sounds like a stick. What was that old joke? This mathematician told me this. There was a, now if I can remember this, there was this ordinary person, an engineer, and a mathematician. And they were in a train in Scotland. And they looked out the window and they saw these sheep. They're in the field. And the ordinary person said, oh look, now there's sheep in Scotland. And then the engineer said, no. All we know is I think there were white sheep. He said, there's white sheep in Scotland. And then engineer said, no. All we know is there's white sheep just in this part of Scotland. And the mathematician said, no, all we know is that at least half of the sheep are white, because we don't know what's on the other side of that sheep. They think too much, those mathematicians. But anyway, so what are you seeing over here? You only see half a stick. You don't know what's on the other side, do you? But we assume so much. We assume that must be a magpie or a crow. That's the trouble with thinking, because we assume and we don't see things fully. Now, there was that wonderful story, which I also like to repeat, from the great teacher Lao Tzu, who would go on a walk every evening with one of his disciples. There was a golden rule, you couldn't speak, you had to keep quiet, no conversations were allowed, noble silence. And one day a young man went on a walk with a great master. They came to a ridge in the mountains in the evening, and there was this gorgeous sunset. And the young man couldn't stop himself from saying, wow, what a beautiful sunset. He'd broken the golden rule. And Lao Tzu turned around, without saying anything of course, went back to the monastery and said, that young man has broken the rules. He can't come on a walk with me ever again. Ever. And his friends, or the friends of this young man, try to intercede. Say, look, you made a mistake. No, forgive him. It's only, you know, one sentence. And then what's wrong with talking anyway? Why do you have that stupid rule? And Lao Tzu replied, and this is the most important part. This is why I tell the story, because when I heard it first, it really made a lot of sense to me. He said, when you say, or when that student said, what a beautiful sunset, he wasn't watching the sunset anymore. He was only watching the words. When you think or say, what a beautiful sunset, you're not watching the sunset, you're watching the words. When you think stick, you're just watching the words, you're not watching the stick anymore. That's the difference between thinking and wisdom. So when you go outside, you see a cloud. If you say, that's a cloud, you're not seeing the cloud anymore, you're seeing the thoughts. You're seeing the signpost, not the destination. That's the problem. That's the old same thing. Finger point of moon, look at the moon. They say, oh, the moon's got a nail on the end about 3 inches long. So no, look where it's pointing to. Don't look at the finger, look where it's pointing to. So that way, we can be silent. We don't need to say beautiful sunset, because then we're just watching the words. We see where those words are pointing to. And then the words don't need to do any more work. I'll give you another example. I'm going to say a few words and I want you to be mindful of the reaction in your head. Anger. 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 Do you actually see that the mind actually goes in that direction, feels very uncomfortable after the words? Now we'll try another one. Peace. 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 Your mind goes towards peace. It feels a peace. And as soon as the mind can experience a peace, there's no more need for any more words. All the words, their job is to point you in a certain direction. They are signposts, that's all. And only when we don't just look at the signposts, we look to where they're pointing, we reach the destination, then words don't have any more point. So please, don't keep focusing on the words. Look where they're pointing to. When you get to where they're pointing to, you don't need any more words. No more thinking. You are silent at last. Still and peaceful. And you will find if that's all you get in this meditation, you're in the moment and at last you stop this thinking process, you're silent. Now you're getting somewhere. Then you go to the toilet and look in the bowl and say, wow. Then nice things will begin to happen. Then maybe you will get that insight. Just like me walking up that hill, I saw things which I'd never seen before. Things which I never expected to see. They were always there, but I was going too fast to see. So that's what stillness does. How it gives rise to joy, to beauty, and also to insight. And that's the talk for this morning. So, go slowly. See the spaces between the words. Go and see a flower without giving it a name. See if you can be still and quiet and see the truth. Da da da. Okay. Any questions about this morning's talk? Yeah. Bowl again. Very good. I will now play the bowl. Are you ready? Wow, isn't that beautiful? Still at last. That's really playing the bowl. This one is what you really remember. This is messing around. But this is really groovy, because when we, I know I've been in some retreats, and when it's time to say breakfast or at the end of the meditation, people bang it. That's really gross. But this one over here, it's like the aliens landing. Here come the Martians. Or at night time, if you do this and all the lights are out, they think, oh, ghosts are coming, ghosts are coming. Ooh. The singing bowl. Very nice. Okay, there we go. I like the first one though, the one I did just. That's the nicest one. Okay, any other serious questions or even unserious ones are fine. Okay, so you've got all the day now. Remember the instructions from yesterday. If you feel tired, take a rest. Don't push yourself. You're still catching up because you've been stressing out. Be kind to your body. Ask your body, body, what do you need? Mind, what do you need? Look after yourselves. Be kind. Be gentle. Remember, it's not trying to get somewhere. It's stopping. Stop, remember. Be still. And then all the meditations happen. And see, when you go outside, open your eyes and enjoy the scenery. Listen to the sound of the wind. It's awesome. And in the sounds of nature, it will stop all this thinking. You'll find some peace and be a very happy little meditator. Okay. So there are, I did open myself up for interviews between 9 and 10 o'clock. But at 10 o'clock I do have to leave, so if we're halfway in the interview, I'm going to sort of just get up and go. So it doesn't really matter, I'm not being rude, just at 10 o'clock you have to go over to the monastery to do other business. And this afternoon there'll be more interviews as well, between, I think it's down to 3 till 4, we can go on after 4, till 5 o'clock it's fine. So you can put your names down or just try and just come in anyhow. So have happy meditation for you all. And see you again this morning, this afternoon, and of course, questions and answers this evening.